In today's Mishnah, it's been the first and second Mishnah, the 8th Perek Masechta Eidot. The Mishnah begins. He'id Rabbi Yoshua ben Batera al Dam Nevelot Shehu Tahor. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Batera testified regarding Dam Nevelot. This is blood that came from a carcass, meaning from an animal that wasn't given a proper shechita. Despite the fact that Nevela is a source of Tumah, the blood that comes from it is not a source of Tumah. That is because the only blood that came from, say, a source of Tumah that is Matama exactly like it, is that of Dam, blood that comes from a Sher. It's one of the teeming creatures that is also a source of Tumah. However, it would still be defined as Mashkim Tmeim. This blood that came out of it would be considered, because it came from or was in contact with the Nevela, it would be like a Rishon LaTumah, such that it could now pass on Tumah to a Sheni Tumah. The point of the Mishnah is that it's not the same level of Tumah as the Nevela itself. Next case. Hid Rabbi Shimon ben Matera al Efer Chatat. Rabbi Shimon ben Matera testified about the ashes of the Praudama that is inside a kli, inside a vessel. Shinagat Tameh b'miksat, if someone's Tameh touched even part of it, Shetimeh et Kulo, that all the ashes within that kli become Tameh. Now, this is despite the fact that it's not considered one big mass, it's ashes, all discrete little parts. Nonetheless, the Chumah that applies to Kodesh, or in this case, even more so to the Paraduma, is that even if you're touching this, like one part of it, all the ashes would be considered Tameh. Well, Sivre Bikiva, Bikiva added an additional case as part of his testimony. Al Hasolet, now referring to other components that are Kodesh, meaning within the base of Mikdash itself as offerings. So Solet is a fine flour used for Mincha offering, Vala Ketoret, Vala Novona, Ketoret's incense, and Lovana is a frankincense that was brought along with the Mincha offering. Avaha Gechalim, this refers to the coals that the Kohen Gadol would scoop up on Yom Kippur and take into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Shenagat Tvul Mikzato, that if a Tvul Yom, now he's adding 2 points. Not only is it if it's not inside a Kli, not contained in a container like the ashes, and secondly, that it doesn't have to be a Tamek, it's called a Tvul Yom. If you remember Tvul Yom, this takes us back to the very first Mishnah that we learned together. Tvul Yom is someone who was Tameh, immersed in a mikveh, and is now waiting till nightfall to become fully tahor. At that stage, he's a sheni l'tumah, secondary tumah, and therefore it would be an issue if he came into contact with truma or kodesh. So the point is adding that this chumrah, that by touching part of it, affects in all the other discrete little components as well. Not just the ash of the paradigm, but other kodesh items, importantly, that aren't in a kli. It doesn't have to be in a kli. And the second point is that it is even an issue for a tfu yom, not just someone who's tameh, but even a tfu yom that even touches it, would shepasal et kulam, would make all of it pasul. Let's learn the second Mishnah. He'id Reb Yehuda ben Bava, Reb Yehuda HaKohen. So Reb Yehuda ben Bava and Reb Yehuda HaKohen testified of Ala Ketana Bat Yisrael Shinisela Kodshi Yochela Betruma. And this so far sounds like exactly what we learned yesterday, that a Ketana, here referring to Ketana Yitom again, who was married off by her mother or brother to a Kohen, she's able to eat from Truma, which is what we said in yesterday's Mishnah. Importantly, it was only with Truma Midrabbanan, because her marriage is only really effective on a rabbinic level. Kivan shenichnasa lechupa afal pi shelo nivela, meaning from the moment she's simply nichnas lechupa, meaning the process of chupa has been done, despite the fact that she hasn't gone home with her husband yet, or if from that point onwards, she'll be able to eat from Truma. To be more accurate, nivela means they haven't relations yet. So he'id Rabbi Yossi HaKohen v'Rabbi Zachari ben Akatzav al tinoke shehur hana be'eshkolon. So in this case that Rabbi Yossi HaKohen and Rabbi Zachari ben Akatzav testified about, that was on a tinoket, a small girl, she was hur hana be'eshkolon, she was kidnapped and ransomed. So here it says goyim, the non-Jews that captured her, were putting up a ransom. Their only interest was to make money out of this endeavor. And when she was returned, it says, "V'rachaku ha'bnei mishpachta." The Kohanim, her family, she was a Bat Kohen, they distanced her from the family, meaning they forbade her from marrying other Kohanim because they were concerned that she was taken advantage of while she was kidnapped. "V'eideha me'idinota shelo nistara v'lo shelo nitma'a." But there were witnesses that could testify that while she was taken captive here, that she was never taken advantage of and she was tahor the entire time. Amar lahem ha-chachamim, the chachamim said, im ma'aminim, if you believe these witnesses, shehur hana, that she was taken captive, then he'eminu, then you should also believe that what? Shelo nistrav lo nitma'a, that she was never taken advantage of. Therefore, why are you doing by pushing her aside and not letting her marry other kohanim? Im einatam eminim, shelo nistrav shelo nitma'a, if you don't believe she wasn't taken advantage of, then you should also not believe the witnesses, Altimino Shuhuna, she was even taken captive. So in other words, either way you're looking at it, if you're going to be consistent, then what you're doing is absolutely incorrect by distancing her. And those are the Mishnah today.